Blog Talk Radio.
Decisions must be made. And now I have a choice.
God bless you guys. Harvest Light Church. Harvest Light Studios here today. Now let's begin with the start of my testimony Tuesday on this afternoon. We're going to prepare for the show. Let me just solidify stuff here just a little bit. We're going to go over the area of just testimonies tonight. I know there's some other part of the show who've been dealing with the area, talking about different verses and scriptures. We're going to stick to the point of the testimony of Christ and talk about the free somebody who's been in a prison situation. So we've got the music move here just a bit. I'll come back in with the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams out of Tandon, Michigan. We're going to just deal with testimonies tonight. We're going to deal with it in the book of Philippians. We'll deal with quite a few areas of the scripture on that particular verse, and we're going to talk about how it's important that testimonies in our life is something that I unlock the key of someone else who's going through something in their life. So we're going to use a move here for just a moment. We're going to come back, we're going to open up with prayer, we're going to get started in this powerful service.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm blessed to be on the show. We got a dual show running here tonight, and we got a few other shows running simultaneously. We're going to make sure we don't get pushed in a very different direction. And for those who are out there actually coming to the Spreaker show as well as the blog show, you're actually hearing both episodes wherever you are in the United States. For those who are actually coming to the actual Spreaker part of the show, you want to go to Spreaker.com and want to actually get that app loaded in, you know, ISOs, computer, laptops, or whatever may have you that suits you to be able to get the internet. And you can load up the program. As you load up the program, you want to go to the search bar, you want to put in Charles Ellis. That's on the actually Spreaker side. And that's going to bring you right into the show. You want to choose the show with my little daughter. I'm standing in the, well, I'm actually with my little daughter, and I'm kind of wearing pretty much a black pinstripe suit. And that'll get you right in on tonight. But we're going to really open up the show. We're going to talk about on our Testimony Tuesdays. And one of the things about Testimony Tuesdays, we want to stay with the script.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and look at what we got over in the book of Philippians. Let's go and see what's going on with the Paul's word.
Amen. I want to start right now, Pastor. God bless you. For some reason, you seem to have a reverb in your voice, and you seem to be breaking up quite a bit. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we want to arrest that foul spirit. That spirit is coming against the people trying to receive a word from the Lord, and we stand against that right now in the name of Jesus. It is not so. It is defeated. God's word always and will prevail. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead forward tonight. Again, we want to welcome you tonight to our Testimony Tuesday broadcast.
You said you're getting an echo. We're stopping on this side.
Yes, sir. You're breaking up quite a bit. It seems to be some type of reverb or echo as well.
Are you still getting that reverb? Is it still coming to us right now? Okay.
Can you hear me clearly?
You're clear, but we're stopping on this new area of the system, but because we actually run it, we're running 100% over here on everything.
Okay. Well, we're going to go forward with the word tonight. Lord, the Lord will work it out. Amen. Earlier this week, I've been talking and praying with several different people, and I had a very interesting conversation today with a young man who was having some troubles with trying to make sure that he's being a help to the ministry and things like this. And the Lord kind of gave me something. This is by way of my testimony as well. Being in ministry over the past 26, 27 years, and Pastor Ellis can testify to this as well, there are times when you are ministering, you're going forward, and you're trying, you see a need that you want to fill and you want to help pull someone along. And the moment you make up your mind to do that, it seems like the enemy throws the whole world against you. And usually it comes by way of even the point of ingratitude from those particular people that you're ministering to and things like that. But, you know, God told me a while back, he said, as long as you're walking with me, he said, I'm going to carry you. I have you. And he said, but you need to be prepared to carry a heavy load. You need to be prepared to carry a heavy load. And this is a word to those of you tonight who have a desire to continue on to go forward in ministry. You know you love the Lord. You know God loves you. You know God has equipped you and caused you to do a work. And the more steps you take towards it, the more resistance you meet. Well, what we've got to understand, and again, Pastor Ellis can testify to this, is that we've got to understand that there is, when you have a desire for ministry in your heart, when you're carrying the love of God, first of all, Jesus said that whoever reigns with him is also going to suffer with him. Whoever suffers with him is also going to reign. But what that also means that when he told us cross and follow him, that it was going to come with some labor. It was going to come with a load. It was going to come with a burden. And when you truly have ministry in your heart, you truly have a burden for souls. So anytime a burden means something, a burden means that you're burdened with carrying something heavy, something that's weighing you down. But I want to encourage you tonight, even by way of my testimony in this, is that God told us by way of Paul to be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap much if you faint not. And we're going to go to some familiar scripture here in the second chapter of Mark, and I'm going to read the first five verses, but I want to concentrate on verse 3, and it reads as follows. And I'm reading from New King James Version. It says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. It's talking about Jesus. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. The word to them. Verse 3. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now remember what we're talking about. Be prepared to carry a heavy load. Verse 4 said, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And again, we're talking about being prepared to carry a heavy load. Now, listen, it's like this. As you go through your life, whether you consciously decide to or not, there are always going to be things that you have to carry that will weigh you down. There's always going to be people that you have to carry that will weigh you down. As in this example right here, this paralytic man, anybody knows anything about anyone who does not have the use of their limbs, their own body? It's what's referred to their heavy. It's what's called to as a dead weight. And it's a very heavy burden. You know, those of you that have taken care of loved ones, whether it be your parents, whether it be a special needs child, whether it be a relative who's in need of your help. Many times we have a desire to reach out and to help people. And a lot of times they don't appreciate your help or they don't want your help. Be encouraged because God honors the effort. God strengthens and encourages you the more you determine to go ahead and take on that burden. But you got to understand and be forewarned that that burden is going to come with issues that will weigh you down. See, anytime you pick up the weight or the problems or the need of another person, you're always going to find out that more times than not, it's a very heavy load. And this is what I want to get someone to understand. Don't ever allow the enemy or circumstance to trick you into believing that ministry is always going to be easy. More often than not, I can remember August of 1999, my ordination. Very good friend and mentor of mine, a man by the name of Superintendent Johnny Kidd got up. He was at the time, he was the secretary of ordination board, and he was responsible for helping ordain hundreds of men over the years. But he got up and he said something that was very profound, and it was simply this. He said, I can speak from experience. He said, I commend these men to God. He said, because I don't know any man in his right mind that actually desires a life of ministry. He said, because a life of ministry, a life of real ministry, is very burdensome. He said it's very labor intensive, and sometimes it can be very sad and very heart-wrenching. He said that we must continuously seek God for prayer, not only for our own selves, but that those who choose a life of ministry. Because a life of ministry isn't as glamorous as some would have you to believe. Real ministry is literally pouring out of yourself, out of the depths of your spirit, to see to the needs of other people. As a matter of fact, it's been put this way before. It's like the fivefold gifts of the ministry, the office of the pastor. The pastor represents the ring finger, the marriage finger on the hand of the fivefold, those five fingers. The pastor is literally married to that ministry. Being married to that ministry, he's married to those people whose care, spiritual care and nourishment he's entrusted to. He's literally bonded by a marriage covenant to that flock that God has assigned him over. That's why we can't take the office of the oracle of pastorship lightly, because it's more than just a man. There's a man occupying that oracle from God. And when God's truly operating in his life, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation to bless you. Because in order for you to go forward into a life of ministry and to be able to bear this burden, you have to be able to receive the activation and the Spirit of God, because God is the one who decides to send you this ministry. God is the one who prepares you. God is the one who anoints you. God himself is the one who lays out the path that you must take. So God is the one who chooses and plants in your spirit those of them that he seeks for you to minister to. But see, the ministry has to be on God's level and in God's command of life, God's direction. It can't be by your own direction. This is why God told us to lean out into our own understanding, but all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. See, genuine and effective ministry to another person is always a very huge challenge, because we are, at the end of the day, we're spirit and we're wrapped up in these human bodies. And I can tell you from experience, we can have all the best intentions in the world and we can reach out to someone, and a lot of times they're going to, seriously, our feelings are going to get hurt. Our resolve is going to be challenged. But see, the first thing we've got to do is understand that it's not our need, it's about another person. If you assure, if you go to another person or a group of people and you tell them that you're going to carry them, that you're going to help bear burdens for them, then the first thing you've got to do is move your own feelings and intent out of the way, your own needs out of the way, and you've got to be sensitive to their needs. Too many of us, we go and we put on a brave face when we're going through our toughest challenges, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you really desire to love on someone and minister to someone, then you have to be able to discern where that person's hurting, the toughest at, and be able to allow God to guide you into ways to help relieve that suffering. You've got to be sensitive to someone, because I don't care where you are, anywhere on Sunday morning or any day throughout the week, whether it be in a church service, whether it be on your job, whether it be at school, or whether it just be walking about everyday life, you will definitely always encounter someone who's hurting. And some of those people will be drawn to you just because of the love and the Spirit of God that's walking and operating in you. Too many times we cloud the judgment that God is trying to deposit in us when it comes to other individuals because we allow our feelings, we allow our desires, we allow our own self-control and our flesh get in the way. So first we've got to be sensitive to the other person's need, just like an example here, this paralytic. There's no way he could move himself, he could get himself into that meeting. But because he had faithful friends, he had friends who wanted to minister to him, he had friends and men who understood and know that they could not meet his need under their own power, it took the Master, it took Jesus. So what they did was they resolved in their faith to help this man at any and all costs, even to the point of dismantling a rooftop and lifting the heavy burden of him down into the presence of God. Sometimes we have to forget about ourselves and intercede for others to the point where we can help lift their burdens along enough to usher them and bring them into the presence of God. So we got to learn to be sensitive to other people's needs. There's somebody close to you in a ministry. There's somebody close to you that's in your family. There's somebody close to you that's on your job, and you know and understand that they're going through some things, and you know and understand that you want to be there for them to help them. And a lot of times, sometimes we get confused, and other times we think that we know what we're supposed to do. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated than just going up to someone and quoting some scriptures to them. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated than calling somebody. And, you know, this reminds me of something. One thing I hate to hear whenever I'm involved with the bereavement of someone is to go to that family or that person and tell them, if you need something, to call me. No, you already know they have a need. You know that they're hurting. You know that their spirit is vexed and grieved because of bereavement. So why would you request them contact you to ask for something when you already know they have a need that is simply to care enough and to love enough and to seek God enough to go ahead and do? Love isn't love until it's given away. And they've got a lot more in their spirit and on their mind that's weighing them down than to take the time and think, oh, I need to call Elder Carey and ask him to do this for me. It doesn't work like that. That's what I mean by being sensitive to someone else's needs. They are the ones at the time that's lying on that stretcher, you know. And a lot of times people in those situations, they'll put on a strong face and they'll act like they've got everything together on the outside, especially when they're in public. But in private, their spirit is crying out. In private, their soul is being ripped apart because of pain and anguish of situations that are literally beyond their control. They'll put on a facade. They know that they have a need. And sometimes they'll allow pride and things like that, or fear, or even anger to keep them from desiring or feeling like or understanding how to even express that need or that hurt to you.
Hold on a second. Let's back this up a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit in terms of the conversation and where it is. You know, some have just lost, and there's some ways when a person comes to someone, you know, and if a person says if you know the need of a person, and you know they're going through a bereaving time, and I'm speaking to something very fresh that just periodically
mm-hmm.
happened.
Exactly.
Now, when a person comes to me, I love them to offer themselves to me because they really
right.
don't know what I need at the time I need it. You know, and
you
I'm saying this genuinely, to the point of saying that when someone comes and says, if anything I can do for you, just call me. It ain't got to be
right.
a physical thing. It's good for a person just to lay the carpet out. Then know if an opportunity is presented, I can call. The one thing a person can do for me is pray for me. It's not all the time I need anything for you. Just to know that you said it make me
That's
feel
true.
Better about the situation in terms of where you are. Now, I'm speaking in terms of a recent situation. And you
me
hear
too.
That a lot. And you're looking at things, and you're looking at how things happen in the lives of people. Most of you know, I just buried my mother here just last month, a month ago.
Right.
And that's a very
right.
close person in my life. I ain't talking about a nephew, niece, or uncle. I'm talking about somebody who's raised me in my life. And that's very significant in my life, And that person who raised me from that point. When someone comes to me and offers themselves and say, hey, look, if there's anything we can do for you, then call us. And they really know that there's something that can be done. But the one thing they can do is pray for us. It's not all the time
right.
that we need something from anybody. But I think it's great that a person offer themselves. It's like opening the door for somebody, being polite.
Okay, right. Okay, Pastor, but what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying that that's wrong to do.
No.
Go ahead. What I'm saying is a lot of times when we go to someone like that, and you're genuine when you're saying it, the person that's grieving will perceive it in a totally different way. So what I often tell people what to do is, first of all, if you go to ask them, sometimes if you know someone that's close enough to them who understands certain things they need, you can go to another person and ask them, okay, what does this person need for me to do? Or you can simply tell them, like you said, or ask them, okay, what is it that you need for me to do, and then go do it. What I'm saying is it's not always prudent because people don't always receive that in the spirit that you intended. This is why I say we have to understand that we have to allow God to lead us and be sensitive to their needs, because, I've recently lost people as well, too. And the one thing I hate is for people to come and say, well, if you need me to do anything, and then when this person's alone and nobody's around, a lot of people will say, if you need me to do something, call me. And that's not on these person's mind, but they need a lot of help. Then nothing's getting done.
Let's take a break here for a minute, and let's open up the question to the panel. And for those who are
All
calling
right.
into the show, the number to call in is area code 516-387. That's going to be 1220. If anybody that's active, we got a crew of people that's on the line. If anybody feel that they need to we want to hear some other, some other suggestions or some other questions or some of the things that people went through and done with and how they felt in terms of opposite end. The number to call in is 516-387-1220. Once again, 516-387-1220. 20. And when you hit that number one button, that'll show you in the studio that you want to get in, and you can go ahead and come in, and he'll be glad to answer some questions with you. Go ahead, Elder Carey. Elder, you back in. Elder Carey, are you there? Okay. Now, I don't know if he probably dropped off the line or what, but in the midst of the commercial, this small break that we had, it's giving you the opportunity to come in and be able to open up the panel to what we're speaking about on today, which, there are some top of the things that we're supposed to have been, but anyway, we're what we are, and we're going to move on this where we are. This is actually Testimony Tuesday, but we're talking about the process of some things. And I know he started some stories there with the apparel leg for those who are actually still coming on the line, those who are on the line. And I want you to be able to jump into the debate because this is a question that most people can feel. I mean, we want you to know how you feel about what
right.
just been said. We really want you to get in on this, And I said once again, the number to call in is 516-387-1220, and you hit that number one button on your line, that'll bring you right into the studio, and we'll catch a flag on you, and we'll put you right into the show. Now, we're going to come back and get this going, this conversation back underway again in the terms of what we call, this is our Testimony Tuesday in prayer service, but we're going to hear what this man of God has to say concerning this very topic that he's talking about. Elder Carey, go ahead.
Amen. Pastor Ellis, I guess where I'm headed with this is that too often we assume a lot of things and in the name of ministry, by way of ministry, But this is the thing. We can't afford to pick a person up only to drop him and let him down. And you and I both know as well a lot of times that it happens and it causes a lot of hurt and tension, even amongst the body of Christ. You know, if we're committed to ministering to people and helping another person, especially someone we're trying to get to come to Christ, then we've got to make sure that we continuously follow through by being sensitive all the way through. And even if it's someone that's already saved, we still want to make sure we follow through all the way to the end.
Well, that's the duty. You know, that's the duty of Christ ministry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the duty of ministry. And it said, you know, we've got to understand that we want to hold on to them and hold them up until Jesus touches them with his power. Because that's the ultimate goal here. You know, as we're carrying a person, we always want to reassure them. We want to reassure them with the word of God. You know, we want to let them know that they've got an appointment with a miracle. You know, God has a set time for them to experience healing and a complete makeover. You know, a total reconstruction of their spirit. You know, it's like once you get, it's just like in the example, and this is my way of part of the testimony, you know, my testimony. Once you actually get a person to Jesus, then you no longer have to worry about carrying them. I mean, God will bless you and move you on to the next. You know, because see, once someone truly comes to Jesus and they discover that Jesus is there for them, then they don't have a problem asking Jesus for themselves. You know, but I want to, I said all that to say this, I want to leave the people, because all of this, everything that you do for Christ is not only going to last, but it's also testimony. David said some 61 times in 119th vision of Psalms, the Lord, I have kept your testimony. I've kept your commands. They translate the command. I've kept your testimony and your commands intact. So all of this is relevant. But, you know, there are several rules by way of this for serving. And it not only builds another person's testimony, but it builds your own. Because Jesus told us to lay up our treasures before heaven. Jesus told us that whatever we do, do it as unto the glory of God. Romans 12:9 says that, and let me read this right. Romans 12:9 says, and I'm in the wrong chapter, okay. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor giving preference to another. In other words, our conduct, especially even when ministering to others, has to exhibit and show and demonstrate the behavior of a Christian. And it doesn't matter at that particular time what you're feeling, what your need is, but it matters that you're conveying and showing the love of God with a pure heart. There are, and I'm just about done, but there are three rules that is good to live by when it comes to serving others. And again, this is all building your testimony, because see, the thing is when your testimony is built up and done correctly for God, first of all, you have no place or no reason to boast, because God, Paul said, God will boast for you. If you do all your boasting in God, God will bless you and manifest it and boast for you outwardly. So, number one is to serve sincerely. In other words, don't just pretend to love others. How many times have we seen people going through things and we've seen hurting, and we'll say to them, I'm praying for you, I'm praying with you. And instead of praying right then, 20 seconds later, it's the last thing on your mind. Or you give someone your word that you're going to do something. Now, remember, God said he put his word above his name. If you're speaking the word of God and you're standing on the word of God, then your word is supposed to mean something. So the thing is there's no way we can fake this. There's no way to pretend this, because God knows each and every one of our hearts. I've been guilty and convicted of these types of things many times in over 20 years. And each time I've had to ask God to forgive me, and then I have to go to another person and repent to them as well. But God knows your heart, so we've got to be honest with ourselves and honest with God about our real motives when we're serving and even sacrificing to others. Many times we want to step in and help. But when it comes to sacrificing in order to help a person, we don't want to sacrifice things like our time. We don't want to sacrifice things like our money. We don't want to sacrifice our feelings and things like that. So it's very important that if we're going to build our testimony before God, it means that we have to follow the letter of God even down to the very intent by being sincere.
Now, let's discuss that as well. I mean, now we're looking at an issue, and we're looking at this situation, and I want to be very careful how I choose my words on this, and I want to make sure I'm getting this in place to where it should be. Now, I had a young niece. We talked about this some months ago, but one of the words I remember, and I had entrusted and listened to what she said, and she's not been in the ministry long enough, but God can use anybody because nobody knows everything.
And
it says, trust God. And I think I quoted this on one of my morning quotes. It said, trust God. Now, this is leading somewhere, dealing with what we're talking about. How it comes to the point. Let me just read this out. It said, trust God. Love people. God never commanded you to trust people. Now, that's a point right there when he said that. Now,
exactly. We
see a lot of things. When we approach a person, we speak the gospel with them and to talk about them. The word of God did say go out to all the world and claim the gospel. That's true that we do. But there are some people out there like mules also. Yeah, they're stubborn as goats. And if you continue to keep going after a particular person, the Lord, and continue to keep you. See, there's a certain group of people that God has for you to mentor, and there's a certain group of people God has for you to minister to. There's some people you're never supposed to keep in your corner. Maybe God put you a plant a seed in somebody that waters the seed. Maybe God didn't want you to mentor that particular individual. Now, one of the words I'm speaking about, he said, trust God, love people. Now, this is going to a whole lot of process of how you trust God through the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I remember her saying, the young woman at the Diamond Rough Ministry, she said like this, there's too many people in the body of Christ saying God said. And we're not teaching to try to move forward and knowing that it truly comes from the kingdom of God. And that's
God
a word that you really can't lose lightly in the body of Christ. Once again, trust God. Love people.
That's
God
right.
never commanded
right.
you to trust people. God commanded
right.
you to love people, but to trust him. Now, that's a big difference.
That's right.
When we talk about that, which brings the victory onto you. God's only pain in the event is when you doubt him and put more trust in men. Well, you know, we knew that over in the book of Psalms 118. You know, he said it's better for you to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. Now, that's the scripture, period. But there are some things that we actually put our own selves in predicament of. When we see a person, we minister to them. Now, Jesus makes a very claim about, you know, if the person comes to you, you speak the word to them. If they don't respond, shake the dust and keep on moving. That's what you're supposed to do. But most of the time, we hammer the word into somebody. And I heard a woman of God, my older sister, say this one time. She said it's so irrelevant. She said it's so powerful. You can't make anybody do nothing. This is a true statement. A willing heart and a living spirit, once it's open, is designed to go in. Now, if you continue to keep knocking on a person's door that don't want to hear the word, and then you get upset, now you could be working in the flesh now. Because God never, if God commanded you to stay with that particular individual during the course of time that he was going through something, then he would have made that person come to you. Now, it's like this with me. Now, this is how I'm speaking from my personal point of view. If somebody wants something from me, if I got something you need, you're going to come get it. If I go to the store, if there's something there, I'm going to go get it because I need it for whatever it is that I'm doing. It's the same way in the ministry. Once you minister the word of God to somebody, and if it touches them in such a way, and it comes back to you on an automatic level, then that person's really designed for you to minister a little bit more to them, a little bit more to them. But God opens up that channel, that avenue for you to come to. And a lot of us make time, we push toward an individual, and we think God told us to do this, and all of a sudden that person doesn't respond the way we want them to respond, and then we'll get upset. We'll call them ghosts, we call them this, we call them that, we say they're going to hell. No, they ain't going to hell, you're going to hell. You know, because number one, you get your flesh involved in this situation that never should have even been there. So in a sense, you get upset about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a free will, you know. The Bible said to whosoever, now he said it, to whosoever will let him come. We might have to face the question that everybody ain't going to make it in. And we as being Christians going to barely make it in. So that's
exactly.
just the desire of the kingdom of God. Our job is to go out and promote the word. Those who are here, like I said, have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. What convicts the person is not me. It's the Spirit that works through me that touches the heart of the individual. If I come with the right mind, the right heart, being who I say am, as being a man of God, to walk upright, then the word of God tells it. No good thing without hope.
Amen.
That's even gaining the kingdom into a place away when they say the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. If I'm going out there doing the work, as you said, and I get myself in the individual, be it based on the process that happened with somebody going through a bereavement, or whatever. Some people just can be just so lockjawed and so hard-headed and just go bobulated to a point they can go through a very serious situation in their family and they can just lock everybody out.
Amen.
People come to them with the sweetest intention. Hey, look, there's anything, you know, and they done, I done seen them like they want to bite me. You know, yeah, whatever. But that's back off that thing. Because what you've done is displayed yourself as saying, I gave myself as a cup offering to you. If it's something that I can do for you, and it may not be what you want, at least I gave you something. And something is better than nothing. If I can't give you the money you need, and some people will try you. And sometimes you come to them and say, hey, look, I need $1,000, I need $2,000, and then they'll come back at you, and they'll use your words against you. I thought you told me that you, if I needed anything, they already operating in the flesh. So they're already mad anyway. So you got to be really careful about when you go to a person, you approach them when they're going through a bereavement time. My condolences to you and the family. God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Let the Spirit lead the opportunity if I need to give you anything. Don't even open your mouth to say if you need anything for me. Because you really understand if they really need, like you said, elder care, if you can't give them really what they want anyway. So what you say, I'm praying for you and the family, and I'll keep you in prayer and lift it up. Here's my number, you know, but I'll be praying for you and the family. Now, you never offered nothing to them, but you offered your heart to them. And it doesn't necessarily get a king, but material. It can be prayer. And they may call and say, hey, look, I'm going through a trial, da-da-da-da-da-da. You never opened your mouth and said you can give them anything. But what you did is offer what the power of God can do through the kingdom with them. And once God began to release that, maybe you as being a man or woman of God can open up that channel to them through prayer because of the obedience. Now, a lot of times people open their mouth up too quick. If I can do anything for you, well, what are you saying? Because can't nobody do nothing for them but God anyway in the situation they're in.
Amen.
And if God gives you the opportunity to open your heart to them and warm to them, then you let you know the best thing I can do for you is really pray for you in the family, keeping you praying, keep you lifted up. I hear that all the time. I hear that funerals all the time, elder. If I can do anything for you, call. And they know they don't mean it. And they get behind the pulpit and say the same thing also. And then when you call them privately on the line, then they drop you like a hot potato. But that's never shit they haven't said. We're praying for the family. We keep you lifted up. For those of you who are going to be a part of the celebrating this going away, we ask you to attend afterward and be with the family. And then that comes together through their private conversations. You know, don't put yourself out there if you know you really can't do. Don't try to ball yourself or make you seem more than what you are. And you know you can't even raise a penny to do anything.
Amen. Again, that's about puffing yourself up rather than another person. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, you know, because it's like this, preacher. You know, if you're sensitive to God, then you know that if you need help in these particular areas, then the first thing you need to do is go to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures only one itself describes itself as saying that the Word of God is live and powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharp and easy to explore. And it tells you that it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of a heart. Now, it's like this. We're talking about situations going through the ministry. See, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at in life and your walk. God is always going to assign somebody to you that he's going to make a way for you to minister to. But he doesn't need you to minister yourself and your feelings and your intents. He needs you to minister him.
But he got somebody there for you to go through what you're going through.
Sometimes even the best thing to do to minister to some person is just to back off. Jesus said,
just be there.
If they're not willing to receive, what you have to offer them. He said what? He said, shake the dust off your feet and keep going.
Just be there. Just be there.
That's exactly it. You be there and you be available.
And that's what you was with at my mother's funeral. You was just there. You were just there.
You know, I
because you knew me. You was there. You knew my mother. You knew what the work she done. You were there. You didn't give no kind of spectacular opportunities or anything, but I knew you was keeping the family lifted up in prayer. And that's really at the time all we really need.
And that's what I'm talking about, because when you're trying to minister to people, see, Jesus also said in Matthew 6 chapter, he said, when you do good or you do a charitable deed, when you show love, don't publish it. Don't sound the trumpet.
Don't make it loud that you may have glory for men.
A lot of times, I told you, we get up in front of people and we grandiose and we want them to think and feel
Pharisee.
That we're meaning so much good.
Pharisee.
But what's
that
really
could,
in your that, heart?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not about what you want them to feel about you. It's
you
about
really
how
had the
you
intentions
want them
anyway.
To feel and to receive the actual love of God. So, you
Sometimes people take
your kindness for granted, and listen, I can write a book about this one. When people take your kindness for granted and fail to appreciate the things that you do, again, don't publish it, don't complain, don't toot your own horn.
That's right.
So God,
you're not supposed to.
Look to God for your reward.
That's right. This is how it comes from Him.
Exactly. This is how we receive the peace and the favor of God.
That's right.
Jesus said, as long as you live and you breathe the dirty air, offenses are going to come. People are going to offend you.
That's right.
Your outcome is determined by your response.
Your response.
There's a reason why the hardest thing for us to do, He tells us, to love our enemies and to do good to them who spitefully use us.
You know what? You know what, Elder Karen? Let me say something.
Yeah.
Let me say something, man of God. Just when we go. Anger is a choice. Let me say that again. Anger is. I'm gonna be echoing here, but anger is a choice. That's your choice. I heard the man of God, Apostle Treadwell, out of Chicago, Illinois. We were talking the other day. He said, the choice that you have and the power that you have is only such a small thing. And I didn't understand what he was saying. It's kind of deal with the mustard seed. I heard my little sister Michelle talk about the mustard seed. It's amazing. He did the same thing. But he gave a demonstration about the wheel of the car is not the strongest part of the vehicle that's carrying the car.
That's right.
He said, it's the hub.
It's the frame. Mm-hmm.
No, it's the hub. When you look at the wheel and you take the wheel off, what's on there? It's just the hub.
It's the hub.
But what surrounds it counterbalances that weight to put the roll on. It's okay. What is he saying? When you actually have faith as small, not only just faith as small as a mustard seed, but your integrity, that knowing that sometimes people can make you feel like a speaker, can make you feel like an ant.
Amen.
But there's something inside of you to let you know, if God be for me, He's more than the world. And He fights all of my battles. And that's what the Word of God says. And when you understand what you just said in reference to, you cause the enemy to open up on your own life. And they go to calling people
exactly.
all kind of in names and these things because they didn't respond to you the way you wanted them to respond to you.
Come on.
Well, you open yourself up, and the meaningness wasn't there anyway. So why did you really say
ungratefulness?
Yeah, why did you do? Why did you even say that?
I'm testifying to deliverance from that one myself.
Well, you know what? We gotta be really careful in the days in what we are in right now. Because I'm telling you, man, when the Word of God say that He can deceive the very elect, I'm telling you, man of God, you better believe that.
That's
he said
exactly
He'll come
my
in
point.
Like a light.
Listen, just by virtue of the days and the times we're living in, lets us know that we have to revert from we have to guard against our own flesh that much more. As a matter of fact, that takes me to the second point. Guard your heart with all diligence, following the holy issues of life. Amen. You know, after we serve sincerely, we've got to look to serve silently. You know, Matthew 6 and 2. Again, Jesus said, don't sound the trumpet. Don't boast about it. And this is the thing. At the end of the day, you know, when people do things to you, especially when they take your kindness for weakness and things like that, you know, if you look to them for approval and reward and validation, you're going to be disappointed all day long.
Yeah.
And see, that disappointment is going to lead you down too many different paths, one of which will be a root of bitterness towards that individual or group of people. And God can't use you then. David said in the 23rd Psalms, I love what he said. He said, as the eyes of the servants or the slave look to the hand of their master, he said, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. That's on the 23rd division psalm, I believe around verse 2.
Hmm.
We've got to understand that if you're really out of the way, what you're doing not only for the service of God, but you're doing to the glory of God. It has nothing to do with your desire and your wants. And so many of us have to grow into these areas. You know, the next point is to serve selectively. Let me tell you something. You can't minister to everybody. And this goes back to what you were saying just a few minutes ago, Pastor.
You can't
sometimes,
coin the monster.
Like I said,
you can't monopolize the kingdom.
Right. You can't go everywhere. You can't meet every need.
Yeah, no.
And you can't help or minister to everybody. You have to seek God for selection. God will point you in the right direction because, first of all, God knows that person's heart just as well as he knows yours. He knows who's open to receive from him and receive you. And he knows who's not. So that's why Jesus said, if they're not receiving you, shake the dust off your feet and walk away.
Amen.
But when God plants that seed in that heart and opens that heart up, he'll make you available. You have to make yourself available to that person, you know, through your own uncomfort or inconvenience at times. But God will reward.
The Holy Spirit is going to, the disciples went out, what he said, about 2x2, right? But he told them, wait.
Right.
Because they can go out in the flesh.
And
he said,
right.
Stay
he told
in the
them
Holy
until they receive
and
power.
And when he said, yeah, you know, because see, when you pray before you move, my mother always told me that. Don't ever go nowhere without praying. Don't ever make a decision
That's
without
right.
praying.
That's right.
Because you're going to need the Holy Ghost to move on whatever
right.
you're doing. Paul talked,
gotta
I think, in the book of Luke. I think he said something in the book of Luke, and he got up them Pharisees. He called them experts of the law. He told them how you put loads on the backs of the people. You burden them down with all these troubled sayings that you have. See, the Pharisees never could keep the commands anyway because they took Moses' law and just took the Torah and just talked at it. They'd add it to everything.
Yeah.
Everything was in their favor, they added to it.
Amen.
Whatever convenience
Amen.
They
had.
So that's
right.
what we have
you
today in the body of Christ.
Yeah,
when we see things that's inconveniencing us, we add to it in the scriptures. And you know what we do? We turn the Bible into a lie. We'll turn it into a
there
bag.
You go.
And we'll beat
there
people with it.
I was just getting ready to say, you can't beat people over the head with the word and expect them to receive the word or you. As a matter
that's
of fact,
what they
I remember
do.
Creflo Dollar said some one time, and it made so much sense to me, so profound. He said, but once you close a person's spirit from receiving, I don't care how nice you are to them, what you do, they'll never receive anything from you again.
Well, once the damage is done.
And as a matter of fact, Paul put it like this in the 16th chapter of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were two instances in the 16th chapter chat, and believe two times I know in scripture, and I believe they were both in the book of Acts, where God actually stopped Paul from going to a certain place because he wanted to go to Macedonia.
That was they was calling from Macedonia. Paul didn't want to go to Macedonia. They called from Macedonia. Yeah.
And the
in
Lord
the
had called
had
him to preach
missionary.
The gospel there.
Yeah.
That's right. The God had called him to preach the gospel there because his intent was to go somewhere else. He didn't want to go
that's
to Macedonia.
Right. Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We have to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And again, that reminds me of Jonah. See, Jonah willfully disobeyed God because of hatred that was in his heart. And at the end of the day, he had more love and concern for a plant than he did for a whole race of people. Now, this is a prophet of God. We've got to understand.
Let's back up on that, what you just said right there, just for a minute, because we got to get off the show. We got to get out of here. Now, you said that was a prophet of God. Now let me tell you, if they were rebellious back then, am I anywhere?
Come
on. Rebellious now. If
even
they were lying
so,
back
brother.
Then, now, come on now. We just got to see
even
David didn't
so.
Understand
that's
that he
a,
had
exactly
he knew he'd done
point.
Wrong. Mm-hmm.
So see, when God guides you, He provides for you, and we got to understand mm-hmm. and know that. But the last point I want to say is that, you know, again, I want to emphasize that those 4 points, we have to serve sincerely.
You got a caller coming in also.
Okay, we have to serve selectively. And,
hold
you
on.
Know, we have
six,
to...
368, hold on just a minute. We're there with you. Give
no,
us
go ahead
minute.
And call me.
No, go ahead and finish out. He's on the line, which now he's live. You just go ahead and finish out. He's coming in.
Okay,
and
all
we got
I was going to say...
okay.
If all I was going to say is that we're determined to serve. We've got to really serve. We have no choice
Amen.
In who, what, how, why, or where. But it's all
Amen.
That God's leading, all God's command, all of God's direction. Again, obedience is key. Go ahead.
Well, he does put you in the body where he sees fit. Got a call coming to 832-368. You're on the air with Elder Kerry Williams and Pastor Charles Ellis here in the City of Dallas.
Hello, Pastor Ellis and Mr. Williams. Pastor Williams.
Yeah.
God bless you, sir.
Elder. Amen.
I'm on today, and I haven't been on in a while. I haven't been
Amen.
On in a while because I've been back home. So,
Amen.
You know, I'm listening to everything y'all saying, and y'all are
mm-hmm.
making some great points. It's really like God guides you. God guides you and tell you when you need to be somewhere or when you need to be somewhere where you need to hear something.
Amen.
And I've been having such a hard time, and a lot of it got to do with a lot of what y'all are saying now. Because the simple fact that I know what God put into me, I know what He put into me, I know what God has given me, but it's hard as far as like what y'all were saying, the anger part about it. And, you know, man, I love everybody. I love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. There's no one that I don't love. Even my enemies, I love them. But, you know, when it's hard trying to tell people things and get them to understand. You know,
that's true.
After you tell somebody something for so long, and it seems like they're not listening. The only way I know is I'm angry now, you know, and since I've been back home, I have been more angry
mm-hmm.
than I have been at peace.
Yeah,
I wanna with this young man speaking, I want each and everyone on this line. I'm gonna let you go because your voice sounds familiar. I might want to call it the name, but I know you got time. But I want you to hear something, and I want this is from Dr. Byron Haynes. I'm sorry, I want to get his name right down there in Saginaw, Michigan, down with Elder Carey. I want you to listen.
You
to
said
something.
It right first.
Is it Haynes or Hayes? Haynes. Okay. I want you to listen to something that he said the other day, and I want you to listen real carefully to what he's about to say here. I'm going to light this thing up, and I'm gonna let me know if you guys can catch it real good, okay? Hold on a second.
Hi, my Facebook friends. I just want to tell you something. Let me share this with you. I thought about you on today, and this is what I want to tell you. Why don't you stop allowing people to discredit you? Now, I'm going to say that again because I want you to really get that. Stop allowing people... You know, there are people you'll be around to discredit you. Always want to put you down. Always want to see your mistakes. Always want to see your flaws. Always want to see the negative in you. Listen, you've worked too hard to encourage you. You've spent a lot of time in prayer. You've spent a lot of time in the Word trying to build you up, trying to pull you out of the bound, throw you under the bus. Talk about you behind your back. Stop allowing that spirit into your perimeter. You have control on who you have around you. You have control on who you communicate with. Everything about you becomes the choice.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if the young man is still there or not, but
yeah, he's still there. He's still there.
Okay,
still there.
Something that would help you again. Go if you look, if you go to the book of Mark, sixth chapter, around the 11th verse, Jesus gave his disciples instructions, and he told them. He said, "If somebody doesn't reject you, and I'm paraphrasing, but when someone rejects you or won't listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave." And you know why this is? It's because it's a testimony. We're talking about testimony. It's a testimony against them. Okay? And you've got to understand that at the end of the day, it's not you that they're rejecting. So you don't need to get angry. It's, if anything, you get fearful for them and you pray for them. It's not you that they're rejecting. They're rejecting the one who sent you. They're literally rejecting God.
I want him to finish out the testimony because he was going somewhere also, Elder Carey. He was going somewhere. And I got the voice of this young man. I know who it is, but he was going somewhere. And I think I know him. But I want him to finish out the reason he's saying why he is in the position he is in now and why he's feeling the way he's feeling. Go ahead, man of God. 832?
Yeah. I'm really trying to understand. Why did God put me back in this situation that I'm in? I'm really trying to understand it. I know the like I said earlier, I know what God has given me because I've been under some powerful people such as Pastor Ellis. So I know these things, but it's still hard because the more you try to tell people the right thing, the more they tear you down or the more they try to make you look like you're the crazy person or you don't know what you're talking about.
Same thing,
you know?
With Jesus.
And it's like, I know what God given me because the other day I was on the phone with this young lady. And we was talking about God, and we was talking about the Bible. And I know it was God using me to talk to this young lady because my forehead was drenched with sweat. My whole body was drenched with sweat. It's like I felt fire in my body was so hot. It felt like my underarms were sweaty. My head was sweaty. My whole body was sweating. And she told me, she was on the other side of the line, and she told me, man, I'm soaking with sweat, too. She told me I'm soaking with sweat, too. So I know God uses you at the right time. At the right time, he uses you when at the right time. But, man, the devil, after that day, it's like Satan has been attacking me. He's been attacking my body. I've been sick. I've just been sick and just sick trying to get better. And it's like I'm feeling bad because I got to go through this. I got to go through that behind talking to people that don't listen.
No, listen. Let's recue that. Even what he said over in the book of Mark. Let's back that up. Now, this is Brother Anthony, right? Am I some close? This is Anthony, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Because I gotta know, because I know he still is a member, and he's a close one with me. That I help raise this one. Now,
amen.
You knew what was in you when you first started and what you were doing and coming in the course of such a prophetic outfit that we had. You know how we roll. You seen me. And you felt the things, you saw these things I had to deal with to get to where I am right now. Now you saw this with your own eyes. You saw this.
Yes, sir.
But what did me and my wife do? What did you see me and my wife do when we have all these turbulence coming in? What did you ever see me and my wife do? Did we ever complain?
Nope.
Did we ever say anything? You saw a ministry grow. You saw it go back down. You saw it grow. You saw it go back down. What did we do? Now you tell me, what did we do? What did we do?
I kept at it.
Did we tittle off anywhere?
Nope.
All those ones you saw cook us out and said things about us, you was there in the midst. What did we do? We walked in what? Humbleness.
Never walked in faith. Mm-hmm.
We stayed right
humbleness
there.
Humbleness and obedience.
Because, see, when you're going through, and it's Psalms kind of say it there, but it's in a different way. Once the test, see, an athlete, if I can say this, and I want to make sure I say this right, when you're testing something and you know it's going to be powerful, it takes a rigorous test. We look at the cars of GM that comes off the assembly line. They got to go through a rigorous test before it goes to the public. You go through a test before you present it to the public. Am I making myself clear to you? But the public is the greatest test. God takes you through things, and he lets you see the very situation that you might have to deal with before you get into this. But even as these cars come off the assembly line, they go through these vigorous tests, and some of them, you hear it all the time, Anthony. We say this all the time. Sometimes they can have, what, recalls. Because the biggest test comes through, what, the public. So don't think it's strange that what you're going through, the God's preparing you to go higher. That even when you speak things out of your mouth, you be careful what you say. And we always had told you about that. Be careful what you say and how you say it and who you say it in the midst of. Because life and death is in the tongue. Now, you ain't dealing with no sickness in your body. Because the Spirit's been taught in you how to rise up over that and know that you got power to be able to speak and call things to be not to what they were, because you got a God that's on your side. Whenever you're doing the work of the kingdom, the Bible declares you're going to suffer. But he said, those who suffer with me will reign with me. Now, you see where we come from? We call this reigning. But in the midst of reigning and going higher, there's still going to be persecutions. Whenever you're going through what you're dealing with, look, count it all joy. And it's hard to say that because it comes through a mindset. Romans tell you the mind has got to be renewed. It's got to be transformed. The Bible says, think it not strange when these fiery trials. You see what I'm saying? Because you're on a different side. The adversary going to come at you. That's just his work. It's like an opposing team. You watch the NFL sports. We try to keep each other out of the end zone for certain teams. So in the event, a lot of players get hurt. A lot of players get injured. But in the midst of those players getting hurt and getting injured, guess what happened? They suffer some things in the midst of going forth. So as the iron begin to touch you and burn you, you got to understand that iron sharpens iron. Remember, iron sharpens iron. Iron can't sharpen off a flesh. If you let the irons and the word of God cut you to a way, the things of the Satan to cut you in such a way, your flesh can't hold up against the iron. The word of God has got to be in you. He's engraving the word in you to keep you moving in that direction in which you're flowing in. This is a mentor we all the time. You heard this at Harvest in my church many times. He that begins a great work. It's more to it. He that begins the work in you, he patents you, he performs you, he puts the stickers on you. Jeremiah said he knows the faults and the plans. He knows what you're going to go through. But you stand fast in the midst of adversity. Never let the enemy think he got an upper hand on you. We got a call coming in. Just stay right there. Stay right there, Brother Stratton. Don't move. We got a call coming in from 989-312. And I'm quite sure we know who this is, but we're going to let her have away. 989-213, I'm sorry. You're on the air. We can put somebody on ice here for a while. We can cool them off a little bit. Go ahead.
God bless you all.
Oh, God bless you
all.
God bless you.
I was just listening. Amen. I was just listening on here. And it's going to take me a little time to try to get my words out, so just
take
bear with me. But as I was listening to the young man saying that he's been going through the things that anybody has been attacking him and the sickness or whatnot, a couple of scriptures came through to me and dropped in my spirit, and I just wanted to encourage him if that's okay.
That's fine.
In Luke 10 and 19, see, the enemy, when you have a calling on your life and God has put you in position to do his work, the enemy's going to attack you. But you can't give in to the enemy because my body is being attacked. He's trying to shut my mouth.
He can't
shut my mouth. I'm actually paralyzed on my right side of my mouth, all from a dental visit in July. I went in for a cleaning, and they cleaned my teeth, and he wanted to pull my wisdom teeth. He pulled the wisdom teeth, which he just wanted to pull them because he said I had no need for them. he pulled my wisdom teeth and he damaged my nerves, and I've been out of work since July 5th, and I'm paralyzed on the right side. What I'm trying to say is that although, you know, all things work together for the good, even though this is an attack on my body, God is doing greater things. He that has done a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm pushing through. It hurts me right now as I speak to you all because it's pins and needles in my mouth right now, and my mouth is burning. But I had to get on here and encourage the young man because God is doing something in your life because he wants you to do his work. The enemy is going to attack. It tells you in Luke 10 and 19,
Amen.
Which is my foundation Amen. Scripture, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents
right.
and scorpions.
Oh, don't get it started up in here.
All the power
and
of the enemy. And then it says, and nothing shall by any means hurt
nothing.
You. Nothing can hurt
Jesus.
You. Nothing can come against
Hallelujah.
God's chosen one. Mm-hmm. Nothing can come against the call. He called you. So you have to continue to push forward. Don't throw
Amen.
In the towel. I heard
Amen.
Pastor Ellis talking about the cars that come off the assembly line. I work at General Motors, and I bring those cars off the assembly line. But let me tell you something. God told me that you have to go through. Sometimes we go through these trials, but you know what? It's a you have to. You know, when you're trying to test a product, it has to go through a trial run.
A proven
process.
In order
for the product to be, in order for the product to be tested. It got to go
That's
through
right.
a trial run.
Quality
Sometimes
control.
You have to go through these trial runs in order to test the product. The product
Amen.
Is you. God is
Amen.
Testing you.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Get in. Don't throw the towel in. Don't throw the towel in. What you do
Amen.
With that towel, when you want to throw the towel in, you take that towel and soap up all that stuff that's down there on the floor and use that towel. You hold on to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You hold on to what
the
God
Holy
is
Ghost.
Telling you to do. And you push forward, man of
My
God.
God.
Because God wants to do that. The enemy will not shut his people, God's people, down in this very hour. In the mighty name of Jesus, God is raising up people.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? You got to push forward through the hardness, through the trials and tribulations. You get out of my feet. You have to push forward through it all, through the pain. It's hurting me right now. It's hurting
my
me right
God.
Now.
In
Jesus
the name
works.
Of
and
Hallelujah.
You know what? I'm not focusing on the pain. I got to focus on the word of God that he has
Amen.
Put in my mouth to speak. So
Hallelujah.
You push forward,
Amen.
Man of God. You're going to buy seats. You push forward.
Yeah,
you
hallelujah.
Push it forward. Don't give in. When you give, you know what? The enemy tried to tell me after I got home today, I went and tried to work out to get my body momentum up. And, you know, as I was at the gym and I was working out and I was going up the incline and everything, and something came to me and said, oh, you better slow down. Your heart rate is too high. You're going to have a heart attack. You know what? You have to speak to the spirit of fear.
Just talk
to
that.
Yeah, that's right. You have to
speak
to that.
If you look at the word fear, look at the word fear. The word fear has ear in it.
F-E-A-R. Ear.
The word fear has an ear. You speak to that word. You speak to that fear because the fear has to hear you. It has to hear what the spirit of the true and living God is saying. You speak to
Amen.
It. Don't you let the
Amen.
Enemy attack you. You attack him. You counterattack
That's right.
him.
You
speak to him. You let
That's
him
right.
know you have authority. The Lord
That's
has
right.
said you
I'll
speak to that thing. And I guaranteed you you're going to come out.
In the name
Here
of Jesus.
Go. Just go through
Amen.
It.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
A
Amen.
That's
Pastor
a prophetic word right there. That's a prophetic
Amen.
Word.
Amen. Pastor Ellis.
Lady.
Let me add
yes,
something to what she said. That was a very powerful and anointing word, you know, because she took the words right out of my mouth, amen, you know, because, I have such a testimony. One of these days I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write my memoirs out and publish them. But just to give you a sample of it, back in 94, God had called me into the ministry, and I knew it and acknowledged it, and I set a date to preach my first message. Now, this was 22 years ago. And what happened was my daughter I had a brand new daughter, was born on the 6th of December. And I was working out of town at the time in Nimble City, 100 miles away from home. And the second week of December, I got sick one morning and went to work. And they sent me to the hospital in Pierre, another town over. And I was diagnosed with diabetes. I was diagnosed with a sinus infection. And I was diagnosed with pneumonia all at the same time. That man, the doctor told me, he said, I don't understand why you're not in a diabetic coma. And when he said it to me, I told him, I said, because I believe and I trust God. I said, no disrespect to you or doctors, but Jesus is my doctor. He did not even want to let me, to release me from that hospital to go home. Now, again, I lived 100 miles away, and I prayed in that emergency room, and he came back to me. He said, the only way I'm going to let you leave here is if you leave here and go, you go back to Saginaw, go straight to the hospital. Make a long story short, I spent 3 weeks in the hospital leading up. Now, I was scheduled to preach my initial sermon on New Year's Eve. I spent all of Christmas in the time, you know, in the hospital seeking the Lord. And you know, we're talking about testimony and going through trials. And as a matter of fact, I had a brand new newborn daughter at home. And before I even got out of the hospital, my wife ended up at a separate hospital across town from me during the same time. Now, a lot of people would have given up there. We got to understand that the enemy does not want to see us rise. New levels, new devils. And she told you exactly right. You have to speak to that situation. You got to speak to the enemy. Instead of giving in to fear, instead of complaining about your situation and getting anger, instead of telling God about the problem. Tell the problem and the situation. Tell the enemy about your God, who's bigger than anything that you could face. I had to resolve in myself that I wasn't going to let anything stop me from doing what God had called me to do. I got out of the hospital that morning, New Year's Eve, and that night at 9 o'clock that night, I was in the pulpit preaching God's word. Now, since that time, that was 22 years ago, the enemy does not want to see you succeed or grow. He wants to attack and destroy your confidence in God and destroy your faith. But God told us to fear not because he's with us. No, neither will he leave us nor forsake us. And you have to stand on that because it's not about how you feel. It's about what God has called you to do. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And when you know that you know that you know that God has put this appointment in your life, then you should also know that God's not going to allow anything to come over you that's going to stop what he has, the purpose he has for your life.
I went on from there and preached
a few. That's right. I preached for a few more years, a couple years later. As a matter of fact, a year later, the same daughter passed away. I was a young minister. She died all of a sudden, had a heart attack. She was born with a birth defect. Within a month, I had lost my job. But God, God
say that again.
Kept me
say
and
that
saw
again.
Me through. I never will
but,
forget this. But God, I had lost my daughter. And my job until that point was working for an employment agency. You know, what we call a job developer. I would go to different companies and approach them about allowing them to contract with them to send people to work for them. Listen, as part of my job, I had to go to these different companies to solicit their help. One of the companies asked me to put in an application with the company in order to get in and talk to the boss about hiring people from me. I lost my job. My daughter died in January. Her birthday was in December. She died in January. In February, I hadn't even received an unemployment check. God moved on this man's heart to call me from one of the companies I went to talk to. That man called me in. Now, this man ran a mausoleum, and he wanted me to come work for him there at this mausoleum. Now, mind you, I didn't want to be around anything about death, but I had to realize that God, even in death, God brings forth life. Keep another long story short, God gave me my job back with better benefits, better pay, and he showed me favor. I was on that job a week, and I got a promotion. I was promoted to a superintendent of the whole building. I was promoted to superintendent over all the arrangements. But I didn't want to be around no devil. I just buried my daughter. But God saw something in me, and I trusted God. Things are going to come against you.
He knows how to hold your mind.
He knows how to, that's right. He knows how to hold you up. The Bible says that he will keep you in perfect peace, those whose minds are stayed on him.
You know,
it doesn't
Elder,
matter what the trial is. Go ahead. I'm getting excited now.
I don't know. Yeah, this woman of God, I tell you, she lit a flame. And then, I mean, you got to be able to keep it, because what she just said to this young man was based on the whole prophetic. That was a prophetic word. You added on, but what she said was prophecy coming from the kingdom.
Exactly.
I don't
know
what happened. I don't know what was going on, even when I look at the story in the book of Kings and them brothers, them lepers at the gate. I don't know what went on and what they were talking about at that gate. But I don't know what went on with Paul and Silas in that jail. The Bible said they sung praises and they sung hymns and songs. But whatever it was, they was conditioning an atmosphere for whatever was about to take place. Them brothers, them lepers, them people at the gate, them men, the folk, I don't know what they talked about. But
that's,
I know,
right.
The word came from the prophet, say it's going to be some bread that will be up in here. And that's the same thing they're telling you, Anthony.
That's right.
Look, the Ecclesiastes said, look, cast your bread. Didn't he say it? The word of God. He said, cast your bread upon the water.
On the waters.
He said, and see one to retain many days. Have faith while you're going through the trial. God is a great rewarder.
Yes.
For those who what? Diligently?
Diligently.
Did he say it? He said diligently means when you focus in the midst of all your trials, yet still hold God. That's my grandma's to say. Boy, you got to know how to push forward. God will make a way out of no way. That's what she said. Because sometimes you don't know where the burdens are coming from. This young lady on the line talks about the paralyzation of her jaw. That thing is already healed in the name of Jesus. Because of the testimony
the
done for this
of
man
Jesus.
Of God. That, hey, can I, man, we got to get off the line. Because I'm telling you something. Testimonies is what we're talking about here tonight, and how God can bring you out of any prison. He can unlock any door. It doesn't matter what door you're a part of, what door you're in. Now, I know I got him still lit up, and I got the 989 lit up, and I'm going to give her a word that she has to say. And first, I'm going to let this young man come on back in before we get off the air, because I need to hear what's in his heart. 832, you're back in, and then I'm going to bring in 989, the young woman out of Diamond and Rush down. I believe that's Diamond and Rough down there. Yeah, that's her number, yeah. And bring her back in. Now, go ahead, 832.
Yeah.
Anthony, I'm going to go ahead and call you from just the point. Go ahead. Now, you heard some things. I want to hear what you have to say, because we're going to close out. Give you a few minutes before we get out of here.
Yeah, I just really learned. I just really learned, because I just really needed to be on here tonight, because I learned something tonight as far as me getting angry. And it's not just I've been getting angry. I've been angry with my family. Man, it's just, man, your family, you would think they would be the ones that understand you, but really, really,
nah,
really.
I have to tell you something about that, too.
Hold on, no. Let 99.
I'm not going to. I'm just.
Yeah.
No, I'm
I know you do, but let that. Hold on a second. Wait, go ahead.
I'm not trying to stop it.
Your family be the hardest ones on you, man, and then they do things to you. And then they think they right when they do the things they do to you, but they not. You know what I'm saying? And I say, I've been angry. And Pastor Ellis, you know me. You know how my heart is. I'm not that type of person. But if
you take me there,
I'm going. And you know, I love God. I love God. I love Jesus. You know, and I know when I leave this earth, I know where I want to be. I know where I want to be, but it's just, man, I'm still time, and I know I'm to just, man, it just release from that. I just stopped smoking cigarettes, Pastor. That was the hardest thing in my life. But it's like Satan coming at me, like when I get, because you know when you get angry, it's the first thing you want to go pick up.
You know what you like.
You know.
989. We got a few minutes. 989. 313. Go ahead. We want you to finish out and with the encouragement you gave to this young man, and I want Elder Carey to go ahead and continue to encourage both of you, and say, "Oh, go ahead and speak. Go ahead, 993-213.
Amen. I just want to say to him, there's a lot of things that come in your way that's going to discourage you, and you're going to be angry. But you know what? Let them be. You know, a lot of times family members, me speaking from my perspective, you think family be with you, but you're going to notice that family ain't going to tell you that a prophet is not honored in his own town. You know what I'm saying? You
That's
have
right.
to understand
That's right.
these are spirits that they're not the actual people.
Yeah,
these are
them.
Spirits that your family
Amen.
Are dealing with. Don't
exactly.
look at your family members. Look at the spirit. You have to talk to that spirit. I think your name is Anthony. Talk to
yeah,
that
Anthony.
Spirit. Don't let anger get, you know what I'm saying? Because anger will take you into another state. You know, bitterness will start setting in and all this other type of stuff will start setting in. It do say get angry and don't sin, but at the same time, you know, forgive them. You know what I'm saying? Forgive them, like Jesus said, for they know not what they do. They don't know,
right.
you know, what you know. You know what I'm saying? You don't let them take you to another level. The Lord told me one time, the Holy Spirit told me, I have to adjust to the situation. Don't let the situation adjust me. So that's what you do. You adjust to the situation. Don't let the situation change you. You change
Amen.
The situation because a lot of times when people try to come at me, you know what I'm saying, and because I was out there in the street, I did everything under the sun, and I learned
mm-hmm.
I'm learning even more day by day to be temperate and everything. I smoked cigarettes, I smoked weed, I did it all and everything. But once the Lord take you and clean you up, can't nothing come against you. It can't come against
no.
you. I don't have a
no
desire
weapon.
To smoke weed no more. I don't have a desire to smoke cigarettes no more. But you know what? When you get angry, you know what I'm saying? Tell the Lord about it. Tell your daddy. Talk to you. You
yeah.
have a personal
yeah.
relationship with him.
That's right.
You talk to him just
That's
like,
right.
you know, we say, oh, God, this, oh, Lord, this, daddy. Daddy God. Daddy Jesus. Look what they doing to me. I can't talk to him like how me and you talking or how you talk to your. Just talk to him because he understands you. He knows
Amen.
What you're going through. He said
Amen.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got to push through. Don't let the enemy know what your triggers are.
Amen.
But
Amen.
You got to know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. When they in the army, they go to boot camp, and they train to know their enemy. They are in boot camp
Amen.
To know their enemy, know what the enemy is trying to do. Know your enemy. When you think that, you know, somebody, one of your family members trying to come up against you, just look at it and sit back. Yeah, it's going to kick you off at first, but then peep the scenery out, because that's what I do. I sit back, and I look, and I say, okay. I get mad, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the devil. That's the enemy. And I go to battle.
Yeah,
I call
right.
you in the name of Jesus. I
yeah,
kill you down
yeah.
in the name of Jesus. No.
Put that word
that's
on
what, you got to talk to that spirit. That's right. Talk
yeah.
to that
Put
spirit.
Put that sword on them.
Not them.
Cut them.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to tell you, they got them. Everything going to bow down at the name of Jesus. Everything.
Yeah,
under the sun. Everything got to bow down. So just speak to it. Just speak to it. You be encouraging. Keep pushing forward because you're a mighty person in the kingdom. Oh, the Lord is going to use you. You mighty. You mighty.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let the Lord continue to use you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Elder Carey, go ahead. We about 10 minutes out from kicking off, but it's going to run into over. But, you know, just give them words of encouragement, if you would, sir. And we got to
yes,
push
sir.
On off. Amen.
Listen, all I want to tell the young man is that, you know, the young lady said it all. You keep on pressing your weight, man. You know, there's two things the Bible lets us know. First of all, your limitation is God's opportunity. The Bible says that man's, your weakness is made perfect. You know, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness.
That's right.
And so we've got to understand that God's not going to allow you to deal with those forces that you can't withstand. Because
no
Corinthians tells
bad.
Us God allows us to be tempted. But with the temptation, he's not going to allow us to be tempted above what we can stand. But with temptation, he'll always give you a way of escape. Your way of escape is in the Word of God. Your way of escape is in the Spirit of God. Your way of escape is in the will of God. And a reason the enemy is coming at you strong, he's presenting these spirits against you because they've been assigned to attack you to try and stop you from accomplishing God's will in your life. You may not even understand it all right now. But as long as you continue to press your way forward, God will make it become clearer and clearer to you. I've been attacked in my body for the last 20 years, plus years. Many people don't know, even right now while we're doing this broadcast these two nights a week, I'm sitting here at home and I'm doing dialysis. Because, see, God will never allow you to be overtaken because it's contrary to his will. And as long as your will is in line with his will, you've got nothing to fear. God's always going to give you breakthrough.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us to try the spirit whether they be of God. Because any spirit that doesn't testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not of God. And as a rule of thumb, just like she said, we always teach and practice hate the sin but love the person. Because we got to understand spirits are what drives men. Just like your spirit being a regenerated, reborn again son of God, your spirit is of God now. And your spirit has to be nurtured and fed, and God himself is the only one who can do that. People operate in their flesh, and people operate with all other spirits motivate people. People's mindsets change just like the wind changes direction. But as long as you understand the wisdom and the word of God, the Bible says that an unstable man, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yeah, he's lost. Yeah.
We've got to understand that God has anchored us. And when you know that God has anchored you, it does not matter what comes at you. It does not matter who comes at you. Jesus himself said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own land and his own country. You know, we all have challenges and issues that we have to face and to deal with, but you don't have the ability to deal with any of this under your own power. That's why you have to trust and rely on God, you know. And God's got your back, man. Listen, if there was no need for God to use you, then these spirits wouldn't be coming at you.
Amen.
Okay?
Fight don't
if
come.
There was no need for God to use you in whatever situation he has lined for you, then there would be no need for these spirits to come against you. The more they come against you is the more you should recognize that God has something for you to do, something for you to say. But it's about aligning yourself up and determining the resolve in your body to see what God has for you to do. Again, sometimes the best way to minister to somebody is to back off and allow God to do his work. Because it's not about what we can accomplish with our hands or
That's
our
right.
mindset.
That's
it's about moving ourselves out of the way and watching God work.
Get out the way. Get your yourself out the way.
That's right.
Let God do what he's going to do. Get out. You toe up anyway. Get about the way.
Exactly.
Let God do what he's going to do. Yeah, I'm serious.
Be encouraged, man. Be encouraged.
Yeah. Well, man of God, we appreciate the time we had the woman of God with us. And, Anthony, I really keep you encouraged. I'll be down in Houston area next week, so I got to be down there over in your area ministering the word out there before I head out another direction. It's always a pleasure for you guys to join us and be with us here at Harvest. So I tell you, it's always a spectacular night. You never know what God is going to do on these lines and on these radio stations. We thank the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, for being with us. We thank the woman of God, the Diamond of Our Ministries, and all those who else are on the line with us in the name of Jesus. Also, the good friend Anthony, my longtime son, always will be, no matter what he may be. And I'm telling you, he has grown. He has grown. He know how to put some nails in his head about this word. And I'm telling you, boy, he stays with it. And sometimes he just, you know, he get away and he come back, he get away and he come back. But, you know, that's just the processes sometimes, you know. And God's holding you and making you. He just keeps carving on you. But it's a pleasure for you guys to join us here on our Tuesday Testimony Service here at Harvest New Life Church. Join us on tomorrow night as we're going through Wednesday night teaching. We're going to be back in the Word of God. And for those who are going to be joining us, just look at one of our social networks. You'll see us all over social networks. For those who get in contact with Elder Kerry Williams, you can go to webpage. Kerry, you want to tell them what their webpage is? I'm going to let him give his own webpage. It's Kerry Williams Ministry.
It's Kerry Williams Ministry.
At WordPress.
At WordPress.com. And you can go to the link and you can contact me and receive prayer requests. You can ask questions.
Amen.
And things. We're always endeavoring to be available.
Amen. Of course, here at Harvest New Light Church, HarvestNewLightStudios.com, or you can go to HarvestNewLightChurch.com. And you can be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church. On behalf of my beautiful wife, Co-Pastor Pellis, and the work we're doing here at Harvest New Life Church, and we thank you for being with us on the line today. You guys take care, and we love you. God bless.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.